Tonight we have Prophetess Leslie Osei in the building. I'm super, super excited. I'm going to bring her up and let her introduce herself, let her tell y'all about how she grew up, and then we're going to move forward. Thank you so much.
Hello.
Thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too. Thank you so much for having me. Very humbled. Your platform has been a blessing to millions of people. So we thank God for your life.
Thank you. So tell us about yourself and how did you grow up? Did you grow up in ministry? Like, just give us the backstory.
The rundown.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn?
Brooklyn in the house. You know, I grew up in a Christian home. My mom, prayer warrior. My dad was half a warrior when he felt like it. When he was on his deathbed, that's when I know that he was really trying to get it right with God. My siblings, some are saved, some are not. I come from a background where you had to go to church every single Sunday. But when you got to college, you kind of had the opportunity to make your own decision, so to speak. My upbringing spiritually, I've always been very on fire for God. That doesn't mean that I didn't make mistakes. Yeah. That doesn't mean that, you know, I did not fall short of God's glory. But for the most part, I can genuinely say that I've really loved God for a very long time. And, you know, recently I went to Ghana to go handle some charity work. And I went to go meet up with one of my aunts, my mother's older sister. And she was, you know, telling embarrassing stories about me to my husband. And then she stopped and she said, you know, your wife has been a prayer warrior literally since she was a little girl. Wow. I used to remember her in the room and she would wake up early in the morning and she would go back and forth just thanking God and just asking for things. And I was like, wow, I didn't even think back that far. But, you know, Christ has been a part of me. And so even when I've fallen short, even when I've done wrong, I can genuinely say that God has really been with me the whole time. I grew up in a Methodist church. Mm-hmm. And now by the grace of God, my husband and I have our own church. We've been commissioned. We're going on 7 years by the grace of God this July. Mm-hmm. Wow. And it is spreading across the nations, the Caribbeans, all over Africa, America here. It's just God's hand and his breath has blown over the ministry.
Wow, that's so amazing. So tonight we're going to be talking about the power in prayer. And a lot of people seem like they don't understand the power of prayer. And I know, mm-hmm. like from watching you, like mm-hmm. prayer is like your love language, for real, for real. So what, like thrusted you into the lifestyle of prayer, and like, how did you build your stamina in prayer? Because I know I've seen you sometimes and you'll say, if you've been saved more than 7 years, you should be praying more than 30 minutes. And I fall out every time I hear you say it, but I love it because it's true.
Well, you know, when you read Luke 18:1, it says that this was the parable that Jesus gave, and it says that men ought to always pray, always. And I think that in my early years of, you know, getting serious with Christ, which has been like over 15, almost 20 years now, since I really was, I was saved at 10, but that was like half saved. And then I got saved again later on in life. But that scripture has always rung out to me because the Bible says that if men ought to always pray, it didn't say angels have to pray. It didn't say animals have to pray. It said men. And men is indicative of anyone who has flesh and blood on their in their body. And so when I read that, I was very uncompromised. Like, I'm a man. I mean, I'm a human man, you know. And so I've always had the lifestyle of prayer, one through this scripture, because I'm like, why would God tell me that I have to, why would Jesus have to say that we always have to pray? That means there's a reason. Mm-hmm. And then when you continue reading in scripture, the Bible says that all the day long, we are considered as sheep for slaughter. That means the enemy is literally looking for us all the time. And when you understand the power of prayer, you have an understanding that one way to get quick results and for heaven to extend the hand of God down is through prayer.
Yeah.
We understand through scripture in the book of Genesis that a authority was given to man. When Eve ate that apple, the authority now shifted to the enemy. And so therefore, when Jesus came back, he essentially gave it back to us. But there's a principle in the spirit world that a spirit cannot enter this earth unless it is coming through a body or unless we speak. And so if you need the presence of God to extend his hand to come and save you and do this, you got to learn how to open your mouth and literally begin to pray. Now, there's different types of prayer, but essentially, you got to learn how to open your mouth. If you're a person that does not know how to open your mouth, you will always be prey for the enemy. And so I believe I built that lifestyle of prayer when I saw that the enemy is always after me, yeah. Especially when your star is shining. He will always be after you. And what we tend to do as humans is many times, especially as Christians, we tend to sleep on the fact that we're Christians or things are going well. But again, the scripture kept on emphasizing men ought to always pray all the day long. We are considered as sheep for the slaughter. Jesus said that the enemy sought to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you. So you got to understand that if Jesus himself had to pray, how much more you and I?
Wow. That's powerful. And you know what? You are the reason why I started praying about my future husband, because I had a dream one night. I was at one of your events and you said you and your husband are going to do great things in ministry in America and Jamaica. And then you told me to read 2 Chronicles. I think it was 20. Wow. And I was like, the fact that somebody said that to me in the dream, let me start praying on it. So I started praying about that again. So yeah, there's definitely power in prayer. And I think once we get that revelation, that understanding, I would tell people, I don't think you can afford not to pray.
No, you can't. That's what people don't understand. You cannot afford, like the dream you're saying you just had. It would not serve you right to know that this is the will of Christ Jesus for you. Yes. And just say, it's a dream. I'm waiting for it to happen.
Right.
The hand of God is moved by a few things. And one of them is prayer. Yeah. And so people have to understand that. And sidebar, that dream that you just had, and you just said, you know, many times when we see a man or woman of God in a dream, it's usually God, and it's usually someone you've taken a liking to, and he'll use that person's face the same way the enemy tries to use people's faces as well, too. And the caliber of person that you see equates to the magnitude of what God is telling you.
Wow.
Yeah. And so if my husband and I are doing ministry on this scale at this level, and God has used my face, it can only mean that your marriage is going to do the same thing. It has to bring people to Christ.
Wow.
Because he could have used anyone, but he needed you to know that there's a marriage ministry that this girl holds. You've been following her, and I'm going to use her face to deliver a word to you. So,
wow, that's powerful. That is powerful. So what are some keys to building and establishing a strong prayer life that you can share with the people watching today?
We have to first understand that one, that when you decide not to pray, you are prideful.
Mm.
Because pride is saying that I can do it on my own.
Yeah.
Prayer, on the other hand, is saying that, Lord, I need you to help me do this. I cannot do it on my own. You know, prayer is the means of establishing the will of God on earth. When you read Matthew 6:10, you see that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so the will of God already has been established in heaven. When we pray, we're now bringing it down on earth.
Yeah.
And so anytime you decide that you don't want to pray, that means you don't want to establish the things that are in heaven. And yeah. This is why so many people see things in their dreams at times, and they'll see that they are far in life. They are richer. They are, you know, more successful. But then in the physical, it's like, I don't even got a man. I don't got a house. I don't got a car. I don't got a job. Because your lack of prayer has not pulled these things down into the earth realm. And so we have to understand that when he said that we ought to always pray, it is to establish the will of God from heaven into earth. If you don't pray, you will see a child that's supposed to turn into a pastor, but they'll turn into a voodoo priest because the enemy will see the star and intercept. So our prayers are supposed to also intercept what the enemy has. If heaven has established that all six of my children are supposed to be, you know, mighty men and women of God, my prayer is what will cause it to happen. And many of us are delayed because there was no prayers that were set ahead of us. You see, Hannah, she carried Samuel and he said, you shall have a prophet. Before she took her child to him, she literally, her child was prophesied to her. So even Eli never said, you would be a pastor, you would be a prophet. But she opened her mouth and she knew what heaven had said while she was on her knees praying like a drunkard woman. And so she prayed it into existence. And when he came, she also made sure it manifested as well too. So one thing about prayer is the will of heaven has to be established. That's why your prayer life, you have to be very, very discerning that you don't pray amiss as well too. Mm-hmm. In as much as we pray, oh Lord, give me a man that's a successful businesswoman or a businessman, businesswoman, whatever it is, it should always end in let your will be done. Yeah. I've let my wants be made known to you because you're my father. Now I need you to also chop some of that prayer up and say, you don't need a businessman. You don't need this. I need you to have this type of person. And so your prayer should always end with, at the end of the day, let your will be done. Not my will, but your will. And prayer impregnates your spiritual atmosphere with glory. When you read Luke 9:29 as well too, and I want to briefly run there really quick. 9:29. Okay.
I'm going to put it up too.
So okay. It says, as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. So when we pray, we impregnate the atmosphere and it causes the glory of God to descend. There are people in which the devil has tampered with their face. There are people who, when you look at them, there's no glory. But when you pray, as this scripture predicates, it says that your glory, his face began to shine. His appearance was that of a shining something. The Bible says, and Jesus spent the night praying that the next days would pass and that the demons would not be able to intercept or torment him. As a result, his body began to illuminate, essentially. And so every time we pray, you have to understand that there's a glory, that there's a glory. Every time Moses ascended, there was a glory that was attached to him. And so when you become a prayer warrior, you become a prayer champion, and every prayer champion ends up looking like glory. And so it's important. And then prayer also makes power available. Prayer makes power available. And that we can see that in James 5:16.
That's great.
Yeah. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So every time you decide to pray, power is released upon you. I know we always see the memes that go around, like you enter into your prayer room as a cat and you come out as a lion. That is a perfect depiction of what exactly happens. Because after you finish praying, everything that used to afflict you, you now understand that you carry heaven's backing. And so when you open your mouth, you know that it is not just vain words that are coming out. It is not just you just babbling things, but not in addition to that, you're using the word of God that is exalted above himself to make sure power is available unto you. And so when you enter the streets to cast out a demon, it will not have to be much of a struggle.
Yeah.
Bible says Jesus did what he had to do in his prayer. So anytime he would go somewhere, he can curse a fig tree and the fig tree would shrivel and die. He would tell you to pick up your mat and walk. Power is made available to those who pray. So prayer has to become our lifestyle. And then prayer brings your emotion down under the authority of the Holy Spirit. Ooh. Anytime you are a prayerless person, you are not broken in the Lord. Anyone who is not broken in the Lord, anything and everything moves them. Their character is extremely poor. You find that they are moved by just random things. They're just mad, easily offended. They're gossipers. They're very carnal. But when you pray, it breaks your spirit down. And the word of God makes us understand that the residence of God is near those who are contrite in spirit, who are humble in spirit. And so every time you pray, a brokenness comes with prayer. No matter how thorough gangster you are, you always realize that, wow, there's a humility that comes with prayer. When we refer back to Solomon, Solomon's prayer is a prayer that we should all make sure that we adhere to. He confessed his ignorance. He didn't say, thank you, Lord, for giving me a nation. I'm going to do this, this, and this. He said, listen, I need wisdom.
Yeah.
I need your presence. He confessed, I don't know how to do this. That prayer was short, concise, but what he was saying is, I don't know how to do this by myself. I need you. And so anybody who truly prays is extremely humble. They are not prideful because they understand that they got where they got to by getting on their knees. They understand that only the power of God. Don't be carnal. Carnality is a curse. So many people have become so carnal that we respond to things anyway, anyhow, because there's lack of prayer.
Yeah.
If I've come out of my prayer closet and you step on my toe, chances are a humility will come upon me that will not cause me to curse you out. But I'd rather, even if I am going to confront you next time, sis, please don't step on my foot again. But I forgive you. But when you haven't prayed, it's like, what the hell? You stepping on my foot. You get out of character. You lose your character. And you enter into the curse of carnality.
Yeah. And I also noticed too, like sometimes I think with believers, there's this bad habit of I'll just jump on this prayer line, trying to access God through everybody else instead of taking that time and doing it themselves. So I think that's something that like believers really have to know, like you got to do this for yourself. It's okay to have people pray for you, but that can't be the only time you're talking to God. It's through everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Which is true. The importance of being planted has really left our generation because of social media as well too. Yeah. Everyone is preaching, everyone is teaching, everyone is doing everything. And so the minute you feel like you're not getting it from here, you gotta go here. Mm-hmm. But a seed, when it's planted, if you keep moving it, the roots can never germinate. If the roots don't germinate, it can never grow. And so what we have is a generation that's going here, 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 and here. Meanwhile, God has put a word in a specific prophet's mouth. And when I say prophet, it can be a teacher, it can be an evangelist, it can be a pastor. If you would just sit still long enough, you would be taught the proper ways to go about things. And one of them is to be planted and learn how to seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's a place for pastors. The Bible says that when anyone is sick, they should call the elders. But the Bible also lets us understand that the onus is on us as well to seek our own salvation. And so what I often teach people is that I am here for you. As a prophet, I'm here to make sure I walk you out, deliver you out of your Egypt. But I'm also here to teach you the precepts of God. And one of them is making sure that your feet have been planted somewhere and is being watered so you can actually grow. Because when you don't grow, you are not being taught to know the scriptures. Yeah. You are not praying appropriately. And our generation is very deceived. We think that prayer is always, oh, Lord, help me. Mm-hmm. There is a place in prayer where your tears will speak. Your tears will speak. And that is when you have exhausted all options. There's a place in prayer when you first become a Christian, you can't afford to just say, Lord, thank you today for my food. I bless it in the name of Jesus. But then there's also a place in prayer where you must go from glory to glory. You must enter realms, dimensions. The Bible speaks about how Elijah entered different dimensions of prayer, which stands to reason that as a child of God, you cannot sit there, be a Christian for 15 years and still just pray, Lord, bless my food. You gotta now know that the food that you're getting may have been accessed by the enemy. Whoever's giving your food, you can't just trust anybody. There are Jezebels, there are marine spirits walking all around. So even in a restaurant, you would be remiss to just take your food and say, God bless this food in Jesus' name. No, you got to learn how to sanctify your food. You must understand why you sanctify your food. Yes, the Bible says that you will take poison and it will not kill you. But even that, it has to be put in prayer that, Lord, as I eat this food, even if it is poison, the word of God says that if it is poison, it should not be able to take me out. But we don't want to know the word. Therefore, we don't even know how to pray anymore. And we love messages that tell us, you know, it's just a communication with God. It is a communication with God. But like everything, God is a God of process. And he's a God that also moves from glory to glory. Yeah. He shines brighter and brighter. And so your prayer language must begin to change. You must begin to now plead the blood. The following year, you must now begin to say the blood that speaks, the blood that overrules, the blood that answers to every accusation. I now plead it over this and that, over my children, over my marriage, over my business. But if every day you sit down unconcerned, thinking that, you know, Lord, thank you. No, we're not teaching you right.
Yeah.
Prayer is an essential key. It's a major key of this Christian walk.
Absolutely. So how I found you was on TikTok, and there was a video you were talking about the different prayer watches. And I was intrigued because normally on like a platform like TikTok, I don't think I watch videos more than a minute, but I think yours was like 6 to 8 minutes. And I watched the whole thing. And then I was just like, I need more of this. So then I went to YouTube and I watched the video and I was like, wow, this is so powerful. So can you talk a little bit about whatever you want to share in regards to prayer watches?
I can't hear a thing.
I think we froze. Oh, man. Hold on.
I can't hear a thing. It just went off.
Hold on. Let me try to add you back because it's showing me. How about now? Okay, because it was frozen. Can you hear now? Oh wait, it's saying that yours is loading again. Hold on, y'all. Hold on, y'all. We're gonna get this together. I don't know what happened. Okay, I can see now. Before it was frozen. Okay, so I was saying I found you on TikTok and I was watching the prayer watch video. And normally when I watch videos on TikTok, I don't do more than a minute and I just keep scrolling, but yours was like 6 to 8 minutes long. And I watched the whole thing and I was like, whoa, I need to know more about this. So then I watched it on YouTube and I was like, wow, this is amazing. So can you share a little bit about the different prayer watches or touch on whatever you feel led to share in regards to that. Because a lot of people, after I watched your video, I made a video and I took notes. Y'all, I was in there taking notes and I did a video and I was like, I learned this from Prophetess. I was like, y'all go watch on YouTube, but here's the thing. And then I gave it, and people wanted to know, well, where do I get the scriptures? I said, y'all got to go watch her video. I was just talking to y'all a minute of what she said. Mm-hmm. If you can go into detail or however much you want to share about prayer. Okay.
So we have to understand that 1 Chronicles 12:32, it speaks of the sons of Issachar who understood the times and they knew what Israel ought to do. So God operates according to times and season. The operation of God on earth is literally governed by your time and your season. That's why we pray as well too, to reveal the times and the seasons that we're in. And so when it comes to prayer watches, you have to understand that everything signifies something in the spirit realm. Just as we have seasons here on earth, mm-hmm. Wintertime, we know snow will come. Wintertime, we know that it will be Christmas time, especially on this part of the world, you know. And so when you begin to trace throughout the Bible, you notice that there's examples of times. For example, midnight happens a lot. God operates based on these times. And so when it comes to the prayer watches, if you go throughout all the scriptures, you realize that there were specific types of things they prayed for and specific types of people that prayed for it. Even what I preached, that was literally like a small snippet of what really it is. Yeah. But essentially, there are different times and there are prayer watches throughout the whole day. And I can briefly run through it if that's okay well.
Yeah.
So we can start from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. That is the watch for intercession. When you go to Lamentations 2:19, it says, arise, cry out in the night as the watches of the night begin. Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands to him for the lives of your children who faint from hunger at every street corner. This is an intercession. He said, cry out for your kids. Cry out for those who are least fortunate. Cry out for whatever it is. And so this is a watch of intercession because you have to understand that with each watch comes angels as well too. And so these angels, when you deploy, and I'm going to actually do a teaching, a very good teaching on angels as well too. But when you have this understanding, when you open your mouth, you're deploying your angels for intercession.
Jesus.
And so this is a great time to, like he said, pray for your family. Any cases that are in your family, this is the appropriate time to pray for it. If you have a child that has been acting up, if you have a child that's in court, if your daughter needs marriage, if your daughter needs to have a child, if your son is in need of a job, if your husband is in need of a job, if, you know, this is the time you intercede. He said, cry out for your family. Cry out for those who are close to you and are still going through things. And you'll see that heaven is open to answer those questions, those prayer requests. Those angels that come down, they are coming down not for anything else other than that. And so you realize you can pray any type of prayers you want, really. But you realize that these hours, based on scripture, when you truly do intercede, because heaven has already dispatched the angels of intercession, they're already there. The minute you open your mouth, they already clocked in and they're like, let's go. But if you're praying for something else, those angels have not clocked in yet. Mm-hmm. They will come, but they might take their time. But when you understand that God is a God of strategy,
yeah.
This is why we have to be very disciplined as children of God. And we, as teachers, cannot just be teaching people frivolous things.
Yeah.
Because God is a God that is sovereign. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's omnipotent. He's everywhere. But in the same token, he's also a God of principle. This walk that we're walking is a principled walk. Yeah. The Bible says what you sow is what you reap.
Yeah.
And so everything in this earth realm carries a level of times and seasons. And so when you pray, you also pray for restoration during this time. When you read Luke 4:40, it says, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. This was the same time that healing happened. And so that's why we encourage people. We have something called prayer night at our church. You know, I have a church, Kingdom Full Tabernacle International Ministries. And every Friday night around 6 p.m. going, we literally have fire night. And just recently, the Lord was like, utilize the time frame to do healings as well. You guys should pray about all sorts of stuff, but begin to heal. And the kinds of testimonies that we've been getting, I'm like, wow, God is a God of strategy. If you just understand his precepts and you walk with it, you are in good shape. You are in absolutely good shape.
God is a God of strategy. I think that's one of your messages. That's a good one too. I listened to that a couple times.
Yeah. He's a God of strategy. Because when you remember, the Bible says that Jesus need not go through Samaria. He didn't have to go through Samaria. But for the sake of the Samaritan woman, some way, somehow, his path was literally diverted just so he can go and encounter this woman. That's strategy. So God, some way, somehow, will always meet you.
Yeah.
And I love the phrase that God is a God of strategy as well, too, because when you read throughout the scriptures, you realize that certain things that God could have just said, Abraham, when you wake up, I'm going to place you in this country. He said, no, wake up, take your belongings, take your nephew, go here. Ruth, same thing. Naomi said, he's a God that is very processed. He's a God that can be sporadic, but he's a God of strategy. And so that's why the Bible says that all things work for those who love the Lord.
Yeah.
It doesn't work for our good. It works for his good, for his name's sake, for those who are called according to his purpose. And so, you know, this time frame is a time for restoration, for healing, and also provision. When you read Matthew 14:15, it says, when it was evening, evening is when? 6 p.m. It says, when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. But then he ended up doing so. So this is the hour as well, too, for provision. If you know you are in need, like, God, I need my rent paid. This is the hour you pray for it, in the evening time.
Wow.
Then we have the 9 p.m. to 12 p.m. or 12 a.m., I should say. You pray for revelation and spiritual knowledge. This is the time where literally the Paul dimension of revelation comes upon you. And if you were to really take this into practice, when you read the word of God this time, you'll see things that you've never seen before. I was reading the word of God, and it was the story of Jesus literally telling Peter that I need you to go and get some nets.
Mm.
Jesus said, go and get some nets with an S.
Yeah.
He told him, go and get some nets. But when you continue reading, the Bible says that Peter went and got one net because one, his faith was weak. Two, Jesus was trying to increase him by saying, bring multiple because the fish that I'm about to give to you, if you don't carry enough capacity, if you don't have a bunch of nets, it will break. Lo and behold, the Bible says that Peter brought about a net and indeed it broke. Because the fish were too much. This level of revelation came around this time, particularly for me. I'm like, wait, why I never saw the S and the no S? the Bible is a book of strategy as well too.
Yeah.
And so literally every single thing that the Bible has, it's not just for, you know, I was reading about, again, the man at the pool of Bethesda. Now, if you begin reading, it talks about ship gates and ship gates and ship gates. And I've read this book 1,000,000,000 times. I've been a Christian like till thy kingdom come. And one day the Lord was like, do you understand why I keep talking about ship gates? And I'm like, what? And he began to reveal so much to me why the ship gates in particular were so important and so needed for that scripture. That's another teaching that hopefully I pray to teach about as well too. But this hour brings about and unlocks revelation. And so anytime you desire to really get revelation, you begin to read and pray. It says, blessed are Job 33. I want to read that quickly as well. I like to attach scripture so it encourages people to go back.
Appreciate anybody that gives scripture.
Yeah, and you know, when you read so much scripture as well too, what happens is that the Lord begins to speak to you so much that he begins to pull things out that you yourself would not have seen in the scripture.
Yeah.
And so Luke 33, 14 to 18, it says, for God does speak now one way, now another, though no one perceives it, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon people as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings to turn them from wrongdoing and keep them from pride and preserve them from the pit, their lives from perishing. So if you notice, in under normal circumstances, 9 p.m. is when a normal person would actually go to sleep. Like, mm-hmm. you don't got much to do. You would go to sleep at 9 p.m. and you would genuinely have to wake up at 12 a.m. But that time frame is for you to literally get revelations. If you sleep during that time, you'll get so many dreams. There's sometimes when you go to sleep and you'll have like 50 dreams at one time and you wake up and you're like, whoa, that was a lot. Because those hours are when God is like, let me speak my mysteries to you. Let me unveil things to you. This is when people are like, show me the heart of this man who is trying to get with me ahead of time. Mm. Unlocking of mysteries. This is the appropriate time for that as well too. Then we have 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. and I'll end with that, but the rest are there. But this is, to me, the most important watch. When you read Judges 16:3, it says, and Samson lay low till midnight. Then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and two gateposts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top hill that faces Hebron. The Bible says this is the time to possess the gates of your enemies.
Wow.
So we as Christians have no business sleeping at this time. Now, when we say prayer watches from this time to this time, it doesn't mean you have to be up the whole time. But when God prompts you at 2 o'clock, you wake up at least 15 minutes in, at least 30 minutes. And if you can do the whole watch, even better. But this is the hour where you take hold of the things that the enemy has tried to frustrate you with. And I wish I can talk more about spiritual things. I've encountered people who have a stench. It's like they take a shower, they do whatever they have to do, have deodorant, they have perfumes, they have sprays, but there's a stench. This stench was literally given by the enemy in a dream, through a covenant, through something. And no matter what they do, they will go to 1,000 prophets. They'll do all sorts of things. That's why I say, gotta be careful who you go to as well too.
Yeah.
Don't always go to a person who will only tell you what you want to hear, but they should also give you strategy. Prophets give strategy as well too. And so this person, like, they were not smelling well. But in this hour, one day I was sleeping, this was like almost 16 years ago. And the Holy Spirit woke me up and showed me that literally they had put like a skunk spiritually under her armpits.
Wow. And
so in as much as she was showering, she just smelled really bad all the time. That was demonic implantation. And the only way for her to go back and take her glory back was in prayer during those hours. And so the Lord woke me up one day and said, call her immediately. And for the next 21 days, begin to pray with her. And we began to possess every gate. And she began to have dreams for like 15 days. She was having dreams of fighting and animals in her bedroom. Yeah. And house was like a barn and all these things. Day 21, she was still having those dreams. But eventually, because we hit it every midnight religiously, talking about we hit this topic, that anything that is trying to take her husband away, anything that will cause embarrassment and shame, whatever is not causing her employment to come, whatever is hindering her glory, whatever is causing her not to have friends, whatever is hindering the glory of God upon her life, today we take hold of the gates. We possess the gates of the enemies and we lift it up. And every prisoner, everything that is due to her, her children, her marriage, her job, everything that is due to her must be released, unconditional release. Mm-hmm. At midnight is when you pray for unconditional release. It's like you, the enemy has already started. And so you gain a level of access and authority, especially during these hours, to really deal with some things in the spirit realm. And so anyone who is really afflicted, hindered, you be having dreams where people are sleeping with you. You have dreams of people holding you down. You have dreams of people taking your kids. You have dreams of people killing you, feeding you. The enemy has tried and literally has put a gate over you. And this is the time where you take on the strength of Samson by way of the Holy Spirit and literally break loose out of every cage that the enemy has hindered you. I know men who lit every day, somebody is sleeping with them. They would have dreams, wake up, and it's like they have ejaculated on themselves.
Wow.
And when they entered into marriage, it became so hard for them to one, get off with their wife and two, even have a child because these demonic women in the spirit realm would come sleep and literally waste his sperm or come and take his sperm. And so he was always having dreams that I have babies in the spirit, but in the physical, me and my wife are suffering. Wow. And I said, you better take hold of that midnight hour. You better arise in your priesthood instantaneously and begin to do what you have to do. And when he did that, they got twins out of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the spirit realm, you got to understand that everything happens in the spirit before the physical.
Yeah.
That thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. Let it be done here on earth.
Yeah.
And so the spirit precedes the physical. So if you don't deal with things in the spirit, every day you will be changing your resume, thinking it's a physical thing. There's a level where things are physical. But if you don't deal with the enemy behind the scenes, you're going to be afflicted all your life.
Yeah, I think also, too, people think they have insomnia, but I really think it's intercession. They just don't take advantage of you literally getting up at 12 or 1, 2 when they go to tap. They're just like, they try to get on the phone and just be like, what's going on?
That's when you're not discerning. When you're a person that's not discerning, that's why carnality is a curse. If the enemy wants to kill you, he'll make you carnal.
Yeah. Wow.
Because now that you hear these words, you whoever's listening, now that you hear them, you now have a responsibility that when I wake up in the random times of the night, it's not just to use the bathroom. It's not just for a sip of water. It's actually to deal with some things that have been dealing with me, my husband, my children, my brother, my sister. I know people who literally cancer has been implanted in them at the midnight hour while they were sleeping.
Wow.
This is why the Lord had us start midnight prayers. So for the past 8 to 9 years now, we have had midnight prayers nonstop. because we understand warfare and it happens at night.
Wow, that's powerful. People were asking, do you have a book about the prayer watches?
So I have a draft that needs to be published, but now I believe the Lord is speaking. So within the next month or two, there will be a book out for sure, Amazon and everything.
So. Oh, I can't wait. Make sure you let me know about that one. So I'm going to go to the last question because I don't want to hold you any longer. We've been going for a while. How does one identify and overcome demonic delay and breakthrough with prayer?
So to overcome that, first of all, I believe you have to be in a place of brokenness. Brokenness. If you are not a broken Christian in the Lord, not under depression, but in the Lord, it is very hard for anything to happen on your behalf. Additionally, I like to place value on the Word of God. Because if I am going through barrenness issues, mm-hmm. I should be able to locate characters, stories, and or scriptures that pertain to my situation. I always joke with people and say, you cannot be looking in Genesis 2 verse 2 and your situation has nothing to do with that.
Right.
You're just being religious. You can't be quoting the wrong scriptures and, you know, you have to have a sense of the value of God's word. Place a value on God's word. And when you do, the more you pray, you create a prayer language. And I believe that as a child of God, at every scripture you read, you should be able to switch it into a form of prayer. And you can even switch it into a form of warfare prayer as well too. And so something like Peter and his net that broke, if I read it and I'm in a place of prayer and I'm in need of something to break out of any delays or whatever, I begin to pray that, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I lift up my hands as a form of sacrifice. And I ask, oh God, that just as you spoke to Peter, may you begin to speak into my situation. May I not be hard of hearing, and may I double up and gird up my loins, gird up my net. Anything that is, any blessing that is coming that will break my neck, in the name of Jesus, fortify me. Give me capacity for this assignment, for this blessing. And so anything that will come around my way, let it not hinder me in the name of Jesus. Let every blessing be be a blessing and not a curse. Let me not be hindered. Let my boat not sink. Let me have people who will help me carry this blessing. You know, that's how.
Awesome. So let us know like what you have going on, what you have coming on, coming out, whatever you want to promote. We know the book is coming soon. That's one thing to look forward to. What about a prayer CD or something too? We need you on Apple.
So actually, you can look for us, KFT. If you Google KFT, Google, YouTube, Facebook, even on Instagram, TikTok, you'll find either me or my husband or our church. We're like literally everywhere by God's grace. We're on our podcasts are everywhere as well too. And what we have going on is, again, we have a church in Darien, Connecticut. It's only like 20 minutes from New York. So we literally have people driving in from New Jersey, from Massachusetts, from Brooklyn. They're driving in every week, not just for a program, but Sunday service. It becomes such a short drive for them. And then we have programs throughout. We have our weekly meetings, which is on Wednesday. We have Bible studies in-house as well too. We also have Friday fire night. If you are in need of deliverance, if you want to pray some strategic prayers, that is the place to be. And we're also on YouTube every time we have a program as well too. And then on Sundays, we're in-house 10 a.m. We also have two branches, one in Maryland and one in Charlotte, North Carolina as well too. And so you can find us in those three places by the grace of God. Right now we have a program called the Day of Pentecost, and it's going to be a move of the Holy Ghost. It's going to be massive. It's coming up, God willing, I believe the end of the month or the beginning of next month, but you can follow us. And then we have our women's conference. It's a big deal for us. Thousands of people joining virtually in-house, and it's women literally from the age of 21 to, you'll find, 80s, 85. They're all there coming to seek the face of God. Initially, it started out as one day, then it went to 3 days, then it went to 4 days. This year, by the grace of God, it's a week-long program.
Wow.
The second weekend of August, it's always the second weekend of August. You can find all the information on my page or thinkpinkconference.com, www.thinkpinkconference.com. And it's a gathering of women across the globe. People coming from Germany, Amsterdam, yeah, all places in Africa, the Caribbean. We had people come from St. Lucia last time. People flying all over from America. And I think to describe it, we can't even do it justice. It's really the hand of God moving. And I try to make it as personal as possible, even though there's so many people. I believe that God wants me to make it as personal as possible. So I try my best to do most of the sessions as I am the vision bearer. And until my strength fails me, you know, I think this is a commission that God gave me. Like, no matter how many people you have on there, make sure you always minister. And I make sure that there's deliverance. People have been birthed out in tongues. Wow. People have received gifts. Cancer has been healed there. People who were barren have children. The gift of fruitfulness has been given there several times over. Marriages have been restored and released there. So it's really a good time. And we have a picnic later on. We have a concert. Oh, it's, wow, like, it's just jam-packed a whole week. And we just trust God that you all will join us. Again, www.thinkpinkconference.com, or you can go on my page and click the link, and it's going to be an amazing time. It's in August, the second weekend of August, or the second week of August. And then we have a men's conference as well too, that is coming up around Father's Day, and that's the male version of it. It's called Ark of Men. My husband hosts that, and it's amazing. So for the women, you can get your tickets on the website. And the men, you can also register. For the men, it's free because we want to have more men coming in. Yeah. It's hard to get men.
Yeah.
So God instructed us to make sure we take on all the costs for the men's side. Yeah. And the women's side, you know, I think I've been to conferences where they've charged $5,000 and it's a one-day conference.
Yeah.
But this one is just to make sure we offset the cost, because it entails a lot. But I believe that once you come, what God wants to do with you, he will definitely do. So
that's amazing. I want to shout out to your tribe, because they've really been coming in the conference, putting the website, putting everything. So you got an amazing tribe. So shout out to
them.
Thank
God. Thank God.
Again, thank you so much for coming on here and doing this. I'm blessed just to have you, and I appreciate you. And if you ever need anything, make sure you let me know. And thank you guys so much for watching. Do you want to say anything else before we go? Or are you good?
Well, God bless you. God increase you. Make his face shine upon you. May you be blessed. This platform has been a blessing to me personally for many, many years now. And hopefully we can get to hear your story very, very soon in detail. I think it's important for people to see when you obey God in the midst of the storm, yeah, what he can make out of your life. And so I thank God for your life. Thank you so much for your warmth, your love, your hospitality. And I'm always a phone call away, a DM away, an email away. I'm always here. God bless you.
Thank you. All right, y'all, we're out. So thank you so much for joining. Until the next time, see you soon.
See you soon. Bye.